Well, amen. If you have your Bible, turn to Matthew chapter 6 and verse 19. And before we go too much further, I need you to look up here. I love you. I really do. You ever heard when they said, if the preacher tells you he loves you before he starts preaching, look out. Now, we've been walking through this Sermon on the Mount, and Jesus isn't making any more of the Word of God and the truth of Scripture than what is clear and plain, but rather what Jesus is doing, the greatest preacher on the giving the greatest sermon of all time, he is taking the truth of Scripture and he is put his bullseye on the heart. And so we walk through the Beatitudes and we walk through salt and light and just unfolded these things. And we got to chapter 6 and we talk about almsgiving and praying and fasting. And then here we are, we've got towards the end of the second half rather of chapter 6. And looking and studying this, I'm going beginning this morning starting a new series, a four-part series on treasures, traps. That is the traps of treasures. And we're going to be talking about this the next few weeks. And to be quite honest with you, we'll see this morning. We're talking about all sorts of treasures, all sorts of resources and things that we have to spend on eternity. But one of those is very clearly money. And everybody gets nervous when the preacher starts talking about money. A lot of folks get upset. And the reality is, folks get upset when you start talking about their God. So we're just walking right through. And there's some times where I won't be able to say a hearty amen. It's going to be an oh me. We're just going to spend the next few weeks walking through what Jesus has to say about the traps, the dangers, the things we need to watch out for when it comes to what we treasure, our time, our energy, our resources, etc. Okay? And so Matthew chapter 6, beginning in verse 19, and hang on just a second before you stand, let me just tell you something. There's nowhere in Scripture that commands us, per se, to stand in reading of the honor of the Scripture. And I realize we don't do this every time that a verse is read or any of that, and Sunday nights we rarely do it. This is just primarily just to highlight, to say there is something different about the Word of God. And it's just an opportunity for us to stand and continue the spirit of worship to say, hey, we are here to worship God, and His Word is absolute truth, and there's something different about the public proclamation, the public reading of the Word of God, okay? So if you found your place and you are able, will you stand with me in the honor of the reading of the Word of God? Do not lay up for yourselves treasure on earth, where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Let's pray. Precious Jesus, thank you for this day. And thank you, God, that by your grace and mercy, we're able to sing, "It is well with my soul." And Lord, I pray that God, here now, if anybody just feels the tugging of the Spirit of God this morning, I pray you give them grace to repent and place their faith and trust in you. God, I pray for those that are struggling this week, God, that you would restore them, and the saints, that you would encourage them. I pray you would take the preaching of your Word and, God, pierce it to the asunder of our soul. Give me every word to say, nothing more, nothing less. Fill me with your Spirit and give me grace to preach as a dying man to a dying people about the risen Savior. I pray and ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, tongue-in-cheek a few minutes ago and realizing that people get uncomfortable, and sometimes we get uncomfortable because pastors or staff members or churches, Those claiming to be Christians have misused and abused money. And they've taken advantage of folks to get rich and to gain and those sorts of things. And I want you to know, they're going to have to stand before a holy God one day and give an account of those things. But as your pastor, I'm called to preach the whole counsel of God. And so this morning and the next couple weeks, we're going to walk through and just try to learn together some truth from the Scripture, see where some of these traps are that we need to watch out for. And so the title of today's message is Treasures, Traps, Investments. And we're just talking about how you invest and where you invest our treasure, the things that we have and the time and energy and resources that we have. And it's seated in the context of Matthew chapter 6 and the almsgiving and the praying and the fasting. And now here we are, we're getting to the talking about our treasures. And I thought that the Holman Christian did a great job giving a one-sentence summary of Matthew chapter 6. And it says, all of Matthew 6 seems to be saying, look up. When our natural tendency is to look at the world around us. And so if you want a one-sentence summary of Matthew chapter 6, that's it. Jesus, throughout the chapter here, this portion of the Sermon on the Mount is look up, look up. Give alms, help one another, keeping your focus on the Lord. Pray, focus on the Lord. Fast, focus on the Lord. Whatever time, talent, treasure you have, focus on the Lord. That's the context of our text this morning. And now we get to the text in verse 19 through 21. And if you're taking notes this morning, the main idea of our text is that God desires for His followers to invest in eternity. To invest in eternity. And the question then of the text is, how are you investing in eternity? Or are you investing in eternity? The reality is that we have people from all walks of life and all stages of life in the room this morning. Children, students, college students going, how in the world do you expect me to invest in anything? I'm just looking for a bowl of macaroni and cheese tomorrow. Some's in their first jobs and some at the towards the end and retirement and those things. And how are we, how can we invest in eternity? That's the question of the text. And so there's three main truths I want to highlight from these three verses this morning. Number one, investments are different. If I were to write it a different way, I'd write not all investments are created equal. Not all investments are created equal. Well, notice verse 19. Do not, there's a prohibition. Don't do this. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy. If I was preaching in the Delta, I would add mosquito there. But where thieves break in and steal. But lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. So he uses the word treasure in both verses. One referencing treasures on earth and one referencing treasures in heaven. And so you need to know this morning that not all treasure is created equal. You're going to have treasure. You're going to have things that you invest in. And we're going to dig into that a little bit more as we go. But the first and obvious thing that we need to talk about is that what you do, how you spend your money, your time, your talent, everything you have is an opportunity to invest somewhere, somehow, that is going to produce some sort of fruit. And not all of it's created equal. Some people will spend their life chasing the American dream, and they will essentially, on face value, achieve the American dream. And then when they're dead and gone, their kids and grandkids will spend it all and get it all away, right? Or their kids and grandkids will have something to fight about. And then there are some who will spend their life and they will have almost nothing here on earth to show for it. A woman like Lottie Moon spent her life on the mission field serving and saw little fruit here this side of heaven. But still today in Russellville, Arkansas, should the Lord tarry in 2019, December this year, we will take up an offer where she is still, her testimony is still bearing fruit for the sake of eternity. And the boats and the cars and the jewelry and the purses and the shoes and the houses, they're all going to fall down. They're all going to pass away. They're all going to be burned up. Jesus uses moths and rust here. Studying and preparing this for this, the larvae of a moth, it feeds on wool and just fabric. Fur, wool and fur, and you think about that and then the rust, and in that day and time, in Jesus' day and time, anything of value was fine clothing or any sort of metal that they may have been able to get their hands on. Those two things were incredibly valuable. And so Jesus, for a Palestine Jew, and talking to them and saying, look, all that you're putting your hope and your answer, your trust in, your life saving, is in these things that a moth can destroy, rust may destroy, and if they don't get to it, somebody's going to break in, which was a real thing because they didn't have ADT back in their day. In 1 Corinthians chapter 3, beginning in verse 10, we see a fuller picture of how there is differences between investments and treasures. According to the grace of God, which was given to me, as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another builds on it. But let each one take heed how he builds on it. You realize this morning that you have a foundation. Now, some people's foundation is in anything but God, and that foundation is going to crumble, and that's going to mean a separation from God for all eternity if you don't repent here and now while you still have breath. But I would say probably for the majority of you in this room, you have trusted Christ, you have followed Him, and you have a foundation, a basic foundation where Jesus is the chief cornerstone that'll never be done away with, that'll be never taken away. But it says, careful how you build upon that. For no other foundation can anyone lay that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That means no other foundation is sufficient for eternity. Now, if anyone builds on this foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, each one's work will become clear, for the day will declare it. That means the work in which you do, the how you live this life, you are storing things up, good or bad, solid or strong. And it says, the day in which you stand before the Lord, not to weigh your salvation for those who have trusted Christ, but to declare, to see what your life's work has produced. Because it will be revealed by fire. And the fire will test each one's work of what sort it is. If anyone's work which he has built on it endures, he will receive a reward. If anyone's work is burned, he will suffer loss, but he himself will be saved, yet so as through fire. So here's the picture that every one of us will stand before a holy God. Those who have trusted Christ, there's a foundation that laid that nobody can destroy, nobody can take away. But every minute of your life that you have invested anywhere, by the way, that's just every minute of your life, what you do with your time, talent, and resources, will be laid on a foundation, and then one day when you stand before a holy God, not in question of your salvation, but to determine the rewards that you, the fruitfulness of your life. And I'm afraid the majority of American Christians will look like, have you seen those foundations where it's really clear a house has burned? The foundation is there. There's not much else. And so I'm just trying to communicate to you this morning what Jesus is understood in the text. Don't lay up for yourselves treasures on earth. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven. There's a difference in investments. Same as a stock market. You can put your money in certain places and it'll yield a much different return than some others. But only now we're talking about time and eternity. And so, investments are different. How are you investing in eternity? Are you investing in eternity? What kind of investments are you making? Number two, and we already hit on this, investments are fruits of your time, ability, and resources. Investments are the fruits of your time, ability, and resources. Notice the text. Do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal. But lay up, there's the working, there's the investing for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys, and where thieves do not break in and steal. So how do I guard against laying up things in the earth and go after laying up things in heaven? It comes through the answer of what do you do with your time, your talents, and your treasure, if you're a preference for alliteration. What do you do with your time, talent, and your treasure? And I realize the tendency is that we focus on this, and I don't have all this money, I don't have all these things, I don't have all these opportunities. The reality is, all of us have the same amount of time in every single day unless the Lord calls you home before the end of this one. Every person in this room has some sort of talent, some sort of gifting that God has equipped you with. Listen to me, not to achieve the American dream, but rather to serve the local church, to fulfill the Great Commission for His glory. God has called you, He has equipped you, He has placed you here so that Second Baptist Church may follow God, love people, and share Christ as we grow disciples. How is it that your talent is being, your gifting is being plugged into that? And then your treasure. Listen to what the New American Standard comments on this. Spiritual treasure should be defined as broadly as possible, as everything that believers can take with them beyond the grave. For example, holiness of character, obedience to all of God's commandments, souls won for Christ, and disciples nurtured in the faith. In this context, talking about our verses for today, however, storing up treasures focuses particularly on the compassionate use of material resources to meet others' physical and spiritual needs in keeping with the priorities of God's kingdom. Listen, I think in full view, it's right for us to apply this to time and talents, but we cannot miss that this is specifically in regard to money, treasure, the financial resources that we may have, that God has entrusted to us. Do you remember the rich young ruler, Matthew 19? Verse 21, he thought he had had it all figured out. Man, he said, I'm fulfilling all these commandments. I'm doing great. And how can I have eternal life? And then Jesus said to him, if you want to be perfect, go sell what you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come and follow me. And you know what the next verse says? You do. And he went away sad because he had many possessions. He went away sad because he had many possessions. It's likely that as a result of this message, that I'll have a conversation or I'll get an email or a call upset because I preached on money. One of the reasons I preach book by book, verse by verse, is because it's not all the preacher saw we're struggling, so he just went and got his money sermon, pulled it out. No, I'm just preaching through the text. And we have found our place here. And the reality is, we need to be really diligent with our time. We need to give ourselves to serve the Lord. Sometimes all we have is our time, and just serve the Lord and come and do whatever we can to serve the Lord that way. And sometimes all we've got is to use whatever gifting that we have. And I'm in a position that maybe there's not room and just can't do everything I used to do, but I can serve with my giftings. But listen to me, church family. Lord's calling you to serve Him with the money He has entrusted to you. Now hear me clearly. We don't get paid and then we give God His. All that you have is His. I don't own anything. Do you understand? I don't have any. Everything that comes through our hands, that passes through our bank account, it's all His. He has just called me to give, to tithe back, to sacrificially give back a portion in which He's already entrusted to me. And so are you, or how are you, investing in eternity? 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 6 says, "Now godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. But those who desire to be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and harmful lusts which draw men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed from the faith in their greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." This is maybe one of the most misquoted verses of Scripture. You hear people often to say that money is the root of all evil. That's not what it says. It says the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Vast difference. Money is amoral. It can't be good or bad, money in and of itself. But rather, it's the use of those funds. It's the use of that money that uses it for good or evil. And the American dream goes like this. We look at how much we're making and we try to figure out how nice of a truck can I drive and still make the payment? How big of a house can I build or buy and still make the payment? And how much of this and how much of that? And what kind of vacation can I go on? And then all of a sudden we pay off all of our bills, and whatever's less we'll entrust back to God. We'll give back to God. Glory to Jesus. And then we get to the end of the week or the month and go, "Well, this month, it's really not a lot." And then week after week, month after month, and we wonder why marriages are falling apart. We wonder why we don't find any happiness. We wonder why we see just the struggle and the day-to-day grind. Dear friend, let me encourage you, everything you have, the Lord has given to you, and He has entrusted it to you to serve Him. And my challenge to you this morning is pray and seek the Lord and ask God, how much of your money do you want back? How much of it are you calling me to sacrificially give, to give back to you? And then the remainder, I'll live on that. I know it just got really quiet in here. And so, not all treasure is created equal. It's not all the same, it's different. That God has called us to serve Him with our time, our ability, and our resources. And then number three, investments are revealing. Investments are revealing. Verse 21, here's where the "O me" comes. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. It used to be said like this, show me your checkbook registry and I'll show you where your heart is. I'll show you what you love. Well, for a good portion of our room, we don't even know what a checkbook registry is. So I don't know what the application is. I don't know. Show me your app, maybe your bank app, or your email of receipts or whatever it is. Show me that and it'll reveal what you love, what you treasure, what you're investing in. What we spend our money on, what we invest in. Now hear me clearly. There is absolutely nothing wrong with working hard, the Lord providing and taking care of you, and trying to do well and on some level enjoy that hard work, the fruits of that, take good care of your kids, try to set up and take care of your grandkids, and if God blesses you, your grandkids, grandkids, but do not miss the here and now of investing in the kingdom of God and investing in winning men, women, boys, and girls to Jesus. Do not miss out that you and I may be a part of the generation that the gospel finally goes to every tribe, nation, and tongue. But investments are revealing. Quickly in your mind, flip back through over the last 3 weeks of this month, the first 6 months of this year, the last 5 years of your life. How is it? What is it that you have invested in? When is the last time you missed a phone upgrade or a truck or a car or a house upgrade because you were so committed to investing in the kingdom of God? Matthew 19:22, it says that the young man heard that saying that he went away sorrowful, for he had great rewards. His reaction revealed his investments. Acts 20, verse 35, it says, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this that you must support the weak. And remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, that he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Hey, listen to me, kids, children in the room. Some of you, you get birthdays and you have times where grandmas and grandpa, they give you some money during Christmas or whatever it is. It's so important. Listen to me, kids. Look right here. It's so important. Take a portion of that and give back to the Lord. You may feel like that may not make a big difference, but it does. It teaches us. It helps shape our heart that we care about the things of God. College students, I realize things are really tight and really difficult, but I'm telling you, I've yet to get to a place in life where giving is necessarily easier than it was at a different stage. Because the reality is, it's all about our heart. It's all about the revealing of the heart. My challenge to you is start here and now and give obediently, sacrificially to the Lord. There's a story told of a man who made his wife a promise, made her promise that if he was to die first, that he wanted all of his fortune put in the casket like the pharaohs did with the pyramids in Egypt. When he died, she quickly moved all the assets into a joint account with both of their names on it. And then there at the funeral, before the casket was closed, she slid up and she laid a piece of paper there. And they shut the casket and buried it, and she was asked later about the paper. And she revealed the promise that she had made. And she said, I put our assets in there, and it's got both of our names on it. And what I put in there was a check. So that way, if he gets where he's going and he finds a bank that'll cash that check, he'll have access to his investments. It's It's a pretty good idea. It's a pretty good plan. Folks, even if you did see it, it would be a really sad sight. I've yet to see a hearse pulling a bass boat or a U-Haul. And you and I both know, if it did, those things following us in the hearse would be as useful as that check in that guy's casket. However, one day you and I will stand before the Lord. And those of you that have trusted Christ, it will not be a question of our salvation. It'll be an opportunity for us to see the rewards of the fruit of our work this side of heaven, praying that there may be something left worth anything on the foundation, that one day we may be able to cast something back at the feet of Jesus. Now, many of you give sacrificially week in and week out. Let me just tell you about the fruit of your work, the fruit of your labor. For the last several weeks, months, there's been hard work going into a program that we call Vacation Bible School. Giraffes and zebras have been made. Curriculum purchased, songs learned, ridiculous hand motions. Flyers have gone out. People are sick of social media posts from Second Baptist Church. And then this week, from 5:30 to 8, many of you, many others, came and gave time, gave your ability. Well, this week we had 52 kids here on campus, 60 volunteers, 3 students, 1 mama gave their heart to Jesus. You know why we were able to do that? Because weekly, not a special offering, not something overly unique, but because weekly, when that plate goes around, or monthly, depending how you get paid or whatever it is, many of you sacrificially give weekend, paycheck and paycheck, and that provided us opportunity to invest in these kids. And by the grace of God, there's some children who now know Jesus, who one day, when you're standing there before the God of all creation, and that foundation and everything you've built, your life's work is burned. If nothing else, there will be a few rewards left. I don't know about you, and I want a lot left. Not for me, not so anybody say, man, what a great Christian, what a great preacher, but rather because I serve a God who's got nail print hands and nail print feet for me. And every second, every ability, every gift, everything, every resource, every dollar that's passed through my hands and from now to eternity, maybe by the grace and mercy of God, I will stop asking, how can I use this for me? How can I advance my kingdom? How can I look better? How can I fit more the social standard? But rather, God, how is it you want me to invest this for the sake of the kingdom? How are you investing in eternity? Can you do more with whatever time, talent, and treasure you have? Not all investments are created equal. You may get good return on a few things here this side of heaven that you think, but my dear friend, they're temporary. But the return that we will have to know that we have the privilege to be a part in seeing a young man come to know Jesus, nothing this side of heaven will compare. Amen. But dear friend, you can work and make millions of dollars, and you can give every dollar that passes through your hand to this church or some other church. But if you haven't trusted in the Lord Jesus, it won't make one bit of difference in terms of your eternity. Today is a day of salvation. It's really simple. The Bible says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Ask God to forgive you of your sins. Give your life to Him. Ask Him to be the boss and master of your life. Turn from your sin. Turn to Him. Say, "I recognize I'm a sinner and I need you." Ask Him to save you. The Bible says God will do just that. Let's pray. Jesus, thank you for this day. God, I thank you for your word, and I pray if there's anybody here that has not trusted Jesus for salvation, God, I pray that you would give them grace right now to repent of their sins and place their faith and trust in you. And head bowed, eyes closed. If that's you this morning and you need to be saved, you pray something like this: "Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. Jesus, come into my heart. Wash away my sins. Be the boss of my life. Thank you for loving me. Thank you for dying for me. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name I pray." Head bowed, eyes closed, and nobody else looking around. If you prayed that this morning and you're not ashamed, would you just look right up here at me and say, "Brother Chris, I pray and ask God to save me this morning.